Welcome, listeners. Today on the Authors Broadcast, we will be discussing one of Ray Bradbury's greatest and most well-known works in literature, Fahrenheit 451.
This episode is brought to you by Audible.ca.
When people say you can't change people's minds, they're usually just talking about one conversation that didn't go well. Well, change doesn't happen all at once. It's often glacial. We like to think that people change.
The most inspiring minds, the most compelling stories. Download Audible and listen for a change.
Fahrenheit 451 is a dystopian fiction read that portrays a grim depiction of America's future. The protagonist is Guy Montag, who works as a firefighter. The unique thing about his job is that it doesn't have the typical job description that firefighters have today in our society, which is to save people's lives and stop fires. Instead, Montag's job is to start fires. Firefighters must burn all books along with the houses where they were hidden inside. Montag does his job without ever questioning why he does what he does. He lives an ordinary life with his wife, Mildred. Mildred is materialistic and spends most of her time watching television. Another key character in this novel is Clarice McClellan. She is what unintentionally prompts Montag to start questioning everything, which is what helps him come closer to finding out the truth. There are too many of us, he thought. There are billions of us, and that's too many. Nobody knows anyone. Strangers come and violate you. Strangers come and cut your heart out. Strangers come and take your blood. Good God, who were those men? I never saw them before in my life. Half an hour passed. The bloodstream in this woman was new, and it seemed to have done a new thing to her. Her cheeks were very pink, and her lips were very fresh and full of color, and they looked soft and relaxed. Someone else's blood there, if only someone else's flesh, brain, and memory. If only they could have taken her mind along to the dry cleaners and emptied the pockets and steamed and cleansed it and reblocked it and brought it back in the morning. If only. He got up and put back the drapes and opened the windows wide to let the night air in. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. Was it only an hour ago, Clarice McClellan in the street and him coming in the dark room and his foot kicking the little crystal bottle? Only an hour, but the word had melted down and sprung up in a new and colorless form. Laughter blew across the moon-colored lawn from the house of Clarice and her father and mother and the uncle who smiled so quietly and so earnestly. Above all, their laughter was relaxed and hearty and not forced in any way, coming from the house that was so brightly lit this late at night, while all the other houses were kept to themselves in the darkness. Montag heard the voices talking, 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 giving, talking, weaving, reweaving their hypnotic web. Montag moved out through the French windows and crossed the lawn, without even thinking of it. He stood outside in the talking house in the shadows, thinking he might even tap on their door and whisper, "Let me come in. I won't say anything. I just want to listen. What is it that you're saying?" But instead he stood there, very cold, his face a mask of ice, listening to the man's voice, moving along at an easy pace. Well, after all, this is the age of the disposable tissue. Blow your nose on a person, wad them, flush them away, reach for another, blow, wad, flush. Everyone using everyone else's coattails. How are you supposed to root for the home team when you don't even have a program or know the names? For that matter, what color jerseys are they wearing as they trot out onto the field? Montag moved back to his own house. From a historical lens, if you take a look at the time this book was written in the 1950s, the world was becoming an increasingly globalist place. This specific paragraph at the beginning could reflect the concerns of people in the 1950s regarding globalization. This passage can also be analyzed through a feminist lens because of the male gaze present when Montag was describing his wife's physical characteristics. Male gaze in the feminist theory is defined as the act of depicting women in the world in the visual arts and in literature from a masculine heterosexual perspective that presents and represents women as sexual objects for the pleasure of the male viewer. His wife had just passed out, but he is describing her appearance, especially focusing on her lips out of all things. The diction used in this passage and throughout the novel is often negative. It paints a gloomy picture of what the environment was like, which speaks a lot about Montag's perception on the society he lived in. I read this novel through a Marxist critical lens, which is a theory that revolves around class differences such as economic and social differences. Fahrenheit 451 is set in a capitalist society where Montag and most of the people he is associated with are in the working class, which is referred to as the proletariat. An example of someone who was evidently in the middle or higher class was Montag's boss, Beattie. A proletarian revolution is when working class attempts to overthrow the higher class. Marxists believe that these revolutions most often happen in all capitalist countries, related to the concept of world revolution. This text can also be read through a feminist critical lens because there was a lot of male gaze present as spoken about earlier. Another example of it was when Montag first met Clarice. He described her in great detail in the following passage. Her face was slender and milk white, and in it was a kind of gentle hunger that touched over everything with tireless curiosity. The dark eyes were so fixed to the world that no move escaped them. Her dress was white and it whispered. No one else in the book was described in this manner besides Clarice and Mildred. The focus in this description was her physical looks, which objectifies females. There was also a lack of powerful female presence in the story, and the female who were present did not have strong personalities or were very vulnerable or dependent on others. Another important idea Bradbury presents to us is how technology is taking over our lives. Some people believe that technology will make a more connected society, but it actually separates us. Whenever we find ourselves anywhere alone, most of us immediately go to our phones rather than choosing to interact with the people around us. Technology is disconnecting us from one another. Bradbury demonstrates this in the world he created, where people have abandoned books and the search for knowledge, and instead look to be entertained by meaningless entertainment and technology. Even in the 1950s, when Bradbury originally wrote this novel, he understood the danger that technology can pose to society. Overall, I really enjoyed reading this story, and I would recommend it to anyone looking for a good literary novel to read, especially if you're interested in the science fiction and dystopian genres. The age range I would recommend it for would be 14 and older, just because there are concepts and language in the story that would be challenging to younger readers. There are a lot of important lessons that I believe can be beneficial to readers in the novel, the main one being how valuable books are and how essential they are to gain basic knowledge. In today's society, most people rely on getting their information from social media and internet articles. The issue with this is that it's very hard to know who to trust about certain subjects, especially with the amount of fake news and biased articles widely available. These are problems that never existed before the technology overload. I think this book sends a very valuable message that is much needed in our modern society. Thank you for tuning in with us today, and I hope you join us again next Friday on the Author's Broadcast.